Are you in Galatians chapter 1? The reason I'm reading this today is because, and I told you about me studying the word, is because there is a scripture that says that do not let many of you become teachers because you will be judged more sternly.
Yeah.
Okay, I read that scripture. Galatians, that's in James. Yeah, that scripture's in James. But we're in Galatians chapter 1. But yeah, that scripture's in James. I love Montre. He's been on this word. Praise God. And he gave a great word to the youth on Thursday night as well. But I'm saying this because I know, we've been here, what, going on 9 years. I watch people come, I watch people grow, and if you stick to what I'm trying to impart into you, you will be, and she's right here, you will be fine. Listen, I'm not a bad shepherd. I mean, co-shepherd or working for the head shepherd. Whatever I am, I'm not bad at all.
Amen.
Some people don't love the sheep, and you want to try and avoid that type of person. But as a co-shepherd or an understudy shepherd of Jesus Christ, I'm only concerned with your soul.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, Nicole is concerned with, hey, she's the accountant. She's like, the numbers got to be right. We need to be offering. But me, do I ever look at it? I don't know who gives what. Because I don't want to know. Because if I know, you know what, I'm going to treat you. If you're a good tither, I'm going to treat you like a good tither.
Right, right.
How you doing, brother? I don't know. I don't know what anybody. All I'm concerned about is that you remain saved and you walk in the direction of the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It's very easy to change your doctrine.
Yeah.
But if you ever change your doctrine and the Holy Spirit is not in agreement with your doctrine, the Holy Spirit cannot remain with you speaking a lie, even though you say you're a Christian.
Amen.
Like, for example, say I get born again. And I'm following Jesus 100%. But I discover that white people are evil. So I think that Jesus really died for only black people. So I'm preaching Jesus Christ, but I'm only preaching that Jesus died for the black man. Because we are truly
stupid.
Yes, stupid would be one. But once I start preaching that, the Holy Spirit knows that I'm lying, so he can't remain with me and be a part of this lie.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So this is why I'm rereading Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. Confusion is bad, you guys. God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused about the scriptures, God has given you a pastor that studies. If you ask me a question, most times I'm gonna know the answer. And I might know a little bit too more than you want to hear, but I'm going to know the answer.
Amen.
And if I don't know it, I'm going to research it and I'm going to find out to make sure that we're on the right course.
Amen.
You understand?
Because
I don't like confusion. Okay? And especially about the gospel, because it is the link to our eternal life.
Amen.
Okay. It says, throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, the apostles talking here, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. What do you think he means when he says, let him be eternally condemned? In hell, right?
That's right.
So to preach another gospel is very dangerous.
Yeah.
If you start saying that Jesus is somebody that Jesus isn't,
right.
Or you start saying that Jesus does something that he doesn't,
right.
And you get somebody off course away from the truth of the gospel,
yeah.
Man, it's dangerous because you're putting that person's life in danger of hellfire.
That's right.
And we, as Christians, we all think, well, I can never be part of a false religion. Man, God, look, Satan don't make purple $20 bills. He makes them green just like the ones you spend. You understand?
That's right.
He makes the, he was the exact same president. Man, you have to be an expert in feeling money to know that that's not a real $20 bill sometimes.
Amen.
So that's why God gives us pastors and teachers. We're supposed to study the gospel because we're a mouthpiece from God to the people. That's what Micah chapter 2:7 says. It says we are to retain the knowledge of God because a priest is a mouthpiece from God to the people.
Amen.
So it is my responsibility to study 4 hours.
Right.
Because of who I work for, okay?
Amen.
Now, it says even if an angel, so even if an angel should come to someone and say, hey, you know, I got this new gospel, like he came to the Mormon religion and told Joseph Smith, you know, Jesus went to America and he gave us this tablet, you know, or even Muhammad, who said an angel came down and told him this new thing to preach, or all of these people who they say these angels came to them. But the scriptures covers that because it says even if an angel comes to you and tells you another gospel other than this, let him be condemned to hell. You understand? It says, as we have already said, verse 9, and now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I have no idea about serving men or being your friend when it comes to the gospel.
That's right.
Okay? So, with that, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Yes. I only get in trouble for two things when preaching the gospel. When I'm telling people that the rapture is coming and if they're not ready, they're going to be left. Christians get mad at me because they say, Jesus wouldn't leave me and he's not coming soon anyway, so, okay. Or, if I preach, you have to live like a Christian to be a Christian. Those are the only two things that people get on their emails and Facebook and all the social networks now, and they get mad. We heard you say that we have to live right to go to heaven. We say by grace. You know, and I gotta, oh God, go through all the scriptures all over again with the same person about living right because it is a common thing for us, and even our flesh, you gotta be very careful with your flesh. Because your flesh wants to sin.
Right.
And it wants to believe that if I continue in sin, I'm still connected to God.
Right, right.
But God in Romans, in Hebrews, he's telling you the exact same thing. In Corinthians chapter 15, that if you come into this, even in chapter 15 of Corinthians, it says, you can believe in vain. Do you know that?
That's right.
The Bible says, in Corinthians chapter 15, it says, you can believe in vain. You understand? That means you can come forward, give your life to Christ, and then go back out and continue sinning, and all the crying and coming forth, and speaking in tongues, you done did it all, right? But it never changed your mind about sinning.
Right.
So you can lose your salvation. Someone said, well, if you're born, how can you be unborn? Spiritually. Because if you don't understand the spiritualness of being born again, it's the being born process is being filled with something.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
If what's inside of you is holy and your temple becomes unholy, all of the scripture teaches that the Spirit of God cannot dwell in an unholy place. Okay? When Jesus was on the cross, okay? When Jesus was on the cross, when all of those sins Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Why have you forsaken me? He no longer feels the presence of God.
That's right.
Why? Because the spirit of God and the presence of sin can't be in the same place.
That's right.
And so if God would separate himself for the first time from his only son,
yes,
because of sin, what makes you think that God is going to allow his Holy Spirit to live inside of you while we fornicate, we get drunk, and go to church? He's not going to do it.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
You wake up like Samson and your hair is cut and you like, you think you still got strength. You'll wake up to do something and find out God's not with you when you're living in sin. So let's read Hebrews chapter 6 and talk about this, man, because I don't want anybody to miss heaven because they say, Pastor Sandy said, I'll be all right. Is he a forgiving God? Woo!
Yes, he is.
Seriously forgiving. I backslid so bad, I was robbing people. That's, and like, I knew Jesus. I spoke in tongues, 17, everything. But when it got to the point of me testing, me being tested, and me going back into the world, man, when I didn't have money, I said, I remember how to make money. I used to make money when I was younger this way. So I said, if God's not going to take care of me, I'm going to take care of me.
Wow.
And that was my mindset.
Right, right.
People would say, Sandy, we going down here, but you're going to need some money when you get there. I used to tell them, man, I get some money when I get there. That was my mindset because I knew I could always rob people. You understand? But I got saved when I was 17.
Yeah.
Now, when I came to my senses, okay, because I got to fight with the police. I got the scar in the back of my head to prove it. Okay, because I was living stupid. I figured, God, you don't love me, and I sang it in the car one night. You don't love me? Cool, I can do this on my own. That was my mentality. I'm going back into the world. And I jumped back into the world, okay? When I got into fight with the police and I went to prison, and I was in prison, Jesus said, I love you. And I couldn't stop crying. I was like, you ain't spoke to me in years. And that's all you got to say. I love you. And I said, when I get out of here, I'm going back to California, man. And I'm going to continue my ways. And you have to understand God loves you even in your stupidity.
Amen.
But now if I had died in that state, I would not put 3 cents in a bet that I would have been in heaven because of what I was doing. You understand? The Holy Spirit could not, if there was a rapture at that time, I know for sure that Sandy wasn't going.
Amen.
Even though I got saved at 17. Because of the lifestyle that I was living.
Amen.
So, okay, now we get the Hebrews chapter 6, verse, we'll start in verse 1.
Good word, Pastor.
It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. And of faith in God, instruction and baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. We'll teach on those things at their proper time. But he said we need to get away from the elementary things and get on to maturity.
Yeah.
You know what he means by maturity?
Yeah.
Let's stop sinning so we can start working. That's maturity. I can't keep sinning, because if I keep sinning, you got to keep disciplining me and keep me working on this discipline.
Yes.
He said, let's go beyond that stuff. Let's move on to maturity in Christ.
Yes.
He says, it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God, and the power of the coming age. Now listen, let's move on to maturity in Christ.
Yes.
He says, it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God, the power of the coming age. Now listen. This person has tasted of the Holy Spirit, right? He said he shared in the Holy Spirit. He said, who have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God. I read the Bible, okay? And he says, the power of the coming age. He says, if they fall away to come to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Now listen, I never fell away. Meaning, I knew who Jesus was.
Right.
And some days, as I'm counting money that I stole, I would ask God to forgive me. You know, I'm just stupid, you know what I mean? I would be like, Lord. Because even in your stupidity, you know, okay? You're like, I know God don't want me doing this, you know what I mean? But you know, I never fell away to the point where I said, okay, Jesus is not God and I don't need his. But that's where Satan was trying to lead me to.
Right, right.
Because while I was falling away, people were trying to introduce me to other gods.
Right.
I met a girl, she was absolutely beautiful, wanted to introduce me to Hinduism. I went to the front door, people was in there chanting. I was like, man, I am not going in there, girl. You ain't that far. I mean, but I remembered who Jesus, so I didn't fall away, but what I was a backslider.
Yeah.
And God is married to the backslider.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
It might, that means you're still sealed.
Yeah.
Understand the difference between being sealed and being sealed, okay?
Right.
If I put a stamp on you, that's my stamp of ownership.
Right.
All of us have a stamp of ownership, and if you're living in Christ, you also have a filling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you begin to sin to the point where God cannot, the Spirit cannot dwell inside of a dirty temple, because there are no building temples, there are bodily temples.
That's right, that's right.
If the Spirit has to go, it has to go.
Right.
God does not disown you though.
Right.
Why? He's put a seal of approval that this person once accepted my Son Christ.
Yeah.
And you know what God begins to do? Come on back.
Come on, right.
Come on, come on back.
Right.
Come on back. I love you. Come on back.
Yeah.
Okay? Then one day you wake up and you go, now I'm going to give my life back to Jesus.
Yeah.
And you get down and you repent, and God don't even say, well, we need to talk about this. He just puts the fear back in
that's
you,
right.
Gives you a hug, and pulls you back in.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what God does. But while you're in this, you have to live it, because the danger is when you're outside of the will of God. Because one day a trumpet is going to blow. And one day you might die out there in the water that you jumped in and that you figured that you'd be safe.
Right, right.
You understand? You can't take chances. Because when you jump away from God, I guarantee you Satan is trying to kill you.
Amen.
I know he was trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Because that police should have shot me. Because I was winning. I would have shot me. Okay?
Amen.
So, here we go. That was just the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, we get to verse 6. Verse 7. He says, now watch this example. He said, land drinks in the rain, often falling on it. And that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receiving the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed, in the end will be burned. You understand?
Yes.
So the rain of God falls upon all of us. Here's my word. It's falling on you. Okay? If it falls on you and you receive it, it sinks in, you're going to produce a crop of godliness.
Yes.
And it says the farmer will be pleased and blessed by the crop that is producing.
Yeah.
Okay? You're producing love, you're producing the hatred for sin, you're producing kindness. God says that is a wonderful crop. But say I get born again and the word of God falls upon me, but in my heart, all I think about is, when can the next time I do something sinful? I go to sleep dreaming about sin. And other Christians come to me and they say, brother, you're going to end up in hell if you don't get right. Don't be judging me.
Right, right.
You smoke weed before you got saved. Because everybody thinks that you're judging them. If somebody's correcting you, they're loving you.
Exactly.
You know, but in Paris, I wish Paris wouldn't say, when I say, boy, stop running in the street. You know, stop judging me. That's not judging you. I'm giving you some smart advice to come out of a dangerous situation.
Right, right.
Okay?
Amen.
So God is trying. So he says, if the rain falls on this person, and this person produces nothing but thorns and thistles, first of all, he's in danger of being cursed because God's not going to bless his life, even though he says he believes God and he's going to go to church. God's not going to bless. He's in danger of being cursed.
Amen.
But it says, in the end, if he doesn't repent, he'll end up being burned.
Yeah.
And that's what God's trying to keep us from. Pulling you away into sin to the point where you can't even repent or bow down and say, God, I need to turn back to you.
Hallelujah.
I have 5 minutes and I'm going to finish on time.
It's all right, Pastor.
The scripture says to watch your doctrine because your doctrine can lead you the wrong way.
Come on.
Now, see, that's one doctrine. That's the doctrine that you're saved by grace through faith, perfect. Now, live worthy of your call.
Amen.
The other doctrine is you're saved by grace through faith, and as much as you sin, it doesn't matter. God is still going to save you. That's another doctrine.
Right.
You understand?
Right. Right.
That Jesus is different from the Jesus that the apostles preach. Because in Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if, let's read that, because I need to. Let's go to Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 15? It's got to be. Are you guys there? When I first read this, I was kind of shocked. Watch this. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, now, brethren, I want you to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. He received it, right? Does that mean he's born again? Come on. Wait a minute. Watch this. Now, brethren, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Is he born again? Why not? He said he received the gospel and he's taken his stand on the gospel. Okay? Now watch this one more time. Okay? It says, by this gospel, you are saved. You understand now? Because Paul preached the gospel to him. He said, wow, man, Jesus is Lord. I want to confess that and accept it into my life. And he took a stand on it. He said, and now I'm standing on the fact that Jesus is Lord. Now he says, by this gospel, you are saved.
Come on.
Now, I would be, man, I believe the gospel. Now he begins his next sentence, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So Paul gives him a warning. You've believed, you've taken a stand, you are saved. If you continue in this, okay, into what you have preached, otherwise you have believed in vain. So he's warning him, you don't just believe this and then move on and go back to doing everything you wanted to do. Because if you do, everything was in vain. You did praise expression in vain. You sang in a choir in vain. You was an usher in vain. You was a church member in vain.
Ooh,
Why? Because you never stop sinning.
Preach. That's right. That's right.
So in the last 2 minutes, I say this, which is the quote from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God.
Many
shall come in those days saying, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And didn't I do gospel rap in your name? And didn't I praise dance in your name? And wasn't I a great usher in your name? And I even went to some people and laid hands and they got healed in your name. He says, yes, but after that,
come on.
You went back to your old lifestyle of sinning and doing everything you wanted to do. Therefore, I don't know you. I don't know you. Because when you're going to come into something this great, it's going to take something. That's why God called us soldiers for Christ. Because it's going to take a fight to stay in there. Look, I can sing on the floor. It's hard not having a mate.
Amen.
But I ain't going to hell for it. You know what I mean? It's hard. You know what I mean? There's some sins that when you're, that you want to do, but they're not worth hell. They're not worth meeting God and Him going, sorry, you missed it by that much. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. So you're fighting for something in the kingdom of God. Look, if you do this right in the kingdom of God, you will step in and Jesus will go, hey, you made it. What's up, girl? How you doing? Come on, I'll tell you your crib. And then y'all gonna take a walk, he'll hug you, and then you talk, you know, it's hard, but you could have gave me a husband. it'll be, you'll get to your house and you'll go, yeah, you got eternal life. Oh, by the way, you got some family members here. They're in the backyard. Barbecue. You know, yeah, whatever. It's gonna be so beautiful. And then, you know, the Lord told me, you know, in heaven. Sometimes people joke like this. They'll go, and people look at them and go, stop joking. You know you can't get sick up here. Stop tripping. Look, heaven, there's no sickness. And it's, we can't even, if we just sat here and imagined everything we could possibly imagine, we couldn't do it. And it's for eternity.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So, you're fighting for something. I know it's hard not to sin. I know, man. I'm going to curse him. Trying to get me fired. Telling on me. Whatever. You know, all these things that are in your spirit or in your flesh that you really want to do them, but the spirit inside of you go, don't do that. I got something for you. Don't even go there. I got something for you. Right? This is a wonderful thing we're a part of. And so I'm saying we have to fight for soldiers for Christ for a reason. We're fighters.
Amen.
We fight against sin. We fight against sin. Praise God. I'm going to close now because it's 1:30. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get to know Him. He's awesome. He is an awesome, awesome God. And if you live right, He'll take care of you like you've never been taken care of before. He'll cause people to do things for you that you don't understand. He's an awesome God.
Yes, He is.
But you have to be in it and you have to be living right. And you have to be saying no to stuff that displeases Him. Praise God.
Amen.